This is a conversation with Baker Johnson, Chief Business Officer at Widget, an AI-first customer experience company. With over 15 years in CX and sales, including a decade focused on customer transformation, Baker emphasizes that AI should be behind people, not between them. I loved how he highlights the power of combining data and empathy to redefine customer engagement, starting with the mindset shifts needed to make AI truly human-centered. Very nice to meet you, Baker. Thank you very much for joining the Humans and AI podcast. I would love to get to know you a bit more, so let's dive into it. So, would you mind sharing a little bit of your background?
Yeah, sure. So I am currently Chief Business Officer at Widget. We're an AI-first customer experience company. In my current role, I manage partnerships. I'm actually running initiatives like AI enablement within the company. And then I have all of our corporate development, like M&A work. I was for 5 years the Chief Marketing Officer here at Widget. And I've been in the CX space now for just over 10 years. But the first 15 years of my career were in sales and marketing roles, really across a bunch of different industries. And what was interesting about that was when I got into the contact center space, what I saw is that the customer experience professionals had the same challenges as sales and marketing professionals. They needed to get the right message to the right person at the right time. They had business outcomes they had to drive. They had to personalize these things. But the difference was that sales and marketing gets a lot of investment. And so it gets a lot of innovation, and we have really good tools for all of this. But customer experience really is always treated as a cost center. So they haven't had the same level of investment and innovation, and it's created this sort of cost center mentality or cost center trap in the space that I really think we have to overcome. So that's how I fell in love with customer experience and why 10 years later, I stopped jumping around industries because I see so much white space here.
Great. So how can technology make customer experiences more human, in your opinion? Because you've got over 15 years of experience, right, in all these areas. So you've been in Widget for 5 years, but sales is very related with customers and you connect with customers all the time. So you understand the customer experience.
Yeah, Widget is a customer experience platform, right? And it's traditional queuing, routing, and reporting for support centers. I think when it comes to making the experience more human, we have to take a step back and look at how the technology is applied, right? Technology is never enough, by the way. The technology is actually ahead of where we are with our mindset and customer experience, but it's always people, process, technology, and the mindset has to be one of putting AI behind people instead of between people. The first generation of AI that any of us experienced as consumers was these static chatbots where you'd ask a question and it would surface a knowledge base article or something of that sort and then say, was that helpful? And they almost never were, right? And what you learn about that is that the number one metric for tracking success with that technology was deflection. How well do we keep our customers from talking to our employees? And that's such a ridiculous mindset, right? What we want to be able to do is actually drive human connection and relationship. And AI can be used to develop better data, better insights, better context that help both the customer and the employee have more fruitful conversations. But it's really a shift in the mindset in terms of how we apply the technology.
So how do you guys apply AI agents and technology and be able to keep the personal touch of the human side in Widget?
Yeah, so realize we're providing these agents to other brands for their customer service. It's not about how we deploy them for our customers. It's really a journey of how we evolve from that deflection mindset to one that is allowing for greater context and throughput with these agents. The agents, the virtual agents, need to be able to recognize human emotion. They need to be able to handle graceful fallbacks. They have to be very well curated and tuned such that they're not hallucinating or presenting answers that aren't true to a customer. And when they hand off to a live agent for any reason, they have to be able to do so with all of that context preserved. Because if you step back and think about before there was AI, anytime you're dealing with a contact center, a call center, the most frustrating aspect, it's like we're manufacturing frustration, right? You have what we call negative industries like insurance or healthcare, where when someone calls in, they might be dealing with some sort of a personal crisis. So they're already distressed in some way. But there are a lot of use cases in the call center. I'll just use like a retail example, or if you're booking a vacation or something of this nature, where when I come in as a consumer with some sort of an issue or a need to be fulfilled, I'm not mad to begin with. But by the time you put me through all these static workflows and dead ends and transfers, and I have to repeat the issue and I have to re-authenticate myself, and I just jump through all of these hoops, by the time I finally get to a live agent who can help me, I'm like livid and furious. And that's where all the bad experiences come from, is all of the additional unnecessary steps that we've built and accumulated in our process over the years. And so I think the way to make the experience more human with AI and agents is to really start with a clean sheet of paper and not be so beholden to our legacy mindset and process.
Yeah. So what, in your experience, what do you think is the best process for example, for the technology or the AI agents to keep things easier for and be connected with humans, but at the same time, be very efficient, like to empower humans. But as you said, there's so many steps sometimes that you just, there's a chat, right? A virtual chat that asking you questions. So you know that it's a robot, just something is that. And then do you think that all that process could be just cut for, by just a human, be easier and faster to get to the solution?
Sure. Look, I think the number one guidance that I give to anybody in tech or on the actual customer service side is to think like a customer, right? We all deal with this in our personal lives. And that's the easiest way to relate to it, is just think about your own experiences with retail, healthcare, travel, airlines and hotel. And how would you want that experience to go? A human is not always the fastest and best way to achieve those things. But honestly, with the amount of data and context that's available to the enterprise, a lot of those questions shouldn't have to be asked in the first place. When a customer calls in from a modern device, in theory, if you've got the right tools in place, you should be able to recognize them. If they're in their app, for example, in your mobile app, mobile web experience, you should be able to recognize them, and they should already be logged in and authenticated. You shouldn't have to re-authenticate them. Based on that, you should be able to combine a history, the historical customer record, with any near-term or real-time context. Oh, this customer has bought a refrigerator from us in the last 30 days, and they've called in 2 times with specific questions that were on the same issue, and they haven't been adequately handled. How can we get them directly to a VIP queue that will allow a human to come on and say, hey, yeah, I know you've called a couple times recently about this issue. Is that what's still what's going on? And start there. Just making the customer be known and capturing and reusing all of that context and data, I think, is really key.
Great, thanks. Yourself as a leader, what, you're a chief business officer. So obviously you have a team and you run a team, right? So how do you foster a culture that embraces innovation without losing the human core?
I'm going to challenge your question. I think innovation is actually core to the human spirit and core to the human experience. And so when we give people a chance to innovate with technology, they can express that, right? The more that we are able to be creative and thoughtful and helpful in our work, the more of sort of our whole selves that we bring to bear. And fundamentally, I think you have to give people room for trial and error. I think this is really about a fixed mindset versus a growth mindset. The way that we've always done things, what got us here won't get us there. We have to learn and try new things. And really, all learning and growth comes through trial and error. I'm a father to 3 boys. I've watched them all learn to walk, and there was a lot of falling down, but there was also a lot of getting back up. And I think sometimes one of the biggest challenges that we see in the corporate world, especially as businesses scale, is that the employees are trained that they can get ahead by winning the battle of attrition. Don't risk too much, don't try too hard, and let other people make mistakes and you can stick around and get ahead. But in a disruptive cycle like we're seeing with AI, you can't wait so long to take that risk. And the companies that are winning with AI right now, they are making mistakes. They're trying, they're making mistakes, they're containing those mistakes, and they're learning fast. They're getting the flywheel moving. And so a culture of innovation always comes with a culture of permission to try, permission to fail, as long as we're not repeating the same mistakes over and over and we're getting better with each turn of that flywheel.
So talking a little bit about some companies that they actually foster innovation, right? As you said, that it also depends of the permission that they give to you to innovate, because what their companies were more traditional. Oh, AI, I don't want to embrace that. I just want to keep with humans. Or this is an example, right? Like most of them, they want to embrace it because they can see, okay, either we embrace it or we're not. But which company or that you admire for their innovation in technology or in your field?
Yeah, look, there's a number of companies out there right now, even including some competitors, I'll say, that I admire. I'll give you two examples that come to mind right now. One's a customer and one's a partner. We have a customer, a very well-known rideshare brand. And so everything they do for a customer experience, they have to duplicate because they have a whole set of processes and practices for their hosts and another for their guests. And they have to handle all the issues that arise therein. And what they're doing that's really innovative is we talk about process and how you apply technology. And one of the biggest mistakes we see right now is what we call paving the cow paths. They're taking legacy, bad process and experience, and they're automating it. So you've taken a terrible experience and made it 10 times more efficient, but it's not any better. And what this brand has done instead is they are actually leveraging topic modeling and machine learning to evaluate all of their interactions at scale and in aggregate. And they're identifying blind spots where they don't have the right path or resolution created for their hosts and their guests. And they're continuously reinforcing their knowledge base and their process and their workflows to accommodate for that. So every interaction they have in the contact center automatically makes them a better contact center and allows them to better deliver more efficient, helpful AI. I think that's a really thoughtful approach as opposed to using AI as a bolt-on or to automate existing legacy process. On the partner side, and I'll name this partner, we just got back from HubSpot's Inbound conference. And HubSpot's really interesting because right now what we see in our space is everybody wants to own customer experience. There's a number of tools and systems in the customer experience stack. There's CRM, there's workforce management, quality management, you have AI point solutions, the contact center solutions. And the contact center has been most closely associated with CX historically, but now everyone sees that that's a really clear sort of ROI landing spot for AI. And as they look at the future, they want to own all that interaction data because that's what'll make AI really turbocharged for the enterprise. And in the CRM space, we're seeing a lot of those players start to become more closed off to partnerships, and they want to own more and more of the customer stack. HubSpot's doing the exact opposite. HubSpot is really opening up partnerships. They have something like 10,000 solutions on their marketplace right now, and they are actively recruiting and inviting companies to come in from AI and from CX and to leverage the interaction data and the customer data that they have in the CRM and to build agentic capabilities that make the customer experience better on top of that. And they do a really phenomenal job of putting solutions partners together with technology partners and focusing on innovation through partnerships as a key path. And I think we're going to continue to see the technology partnership landscape change because some of these tools are going to consolidate.
Thanks. That was very interesting, like what people are doing. Like I hear a lot in many interviews about other like, competitors and other big companies, what they're doing. But I found it very interesting that how you talk about them like such and we just because of the innovation and the things they're doing. I think it's very powerful to like listening from someone who already know and even if it's a competitor and talking so well about them. I like that. So Baker, in your opinion, how will customer experience evolve as the target audience transitions from being humans to being AI agents themselves?
Look, this could be a whole series, right? But the future is absolutely A2A or agent to agent. And we're seeing Google, and to just full disclosure, UJET is an Alphabet portfolio company, and Google's one of our most important partnerships. A lot of our perspective and learning on AI has been about being embedded with the Google Cloud teams and especially those working on AI. We jointly develop our product together for contact center and AI. But this idea of agentic CX and A2A protocols is going to be the next really big wave of disruptive innovation. One of the biggest challenges for businesses today are all the compliance standards that we have around data protection, data governance. And I think what we're going to see is really the evolution of the digital wallet today into consumers owning and managing their consumer agents' permissions to transact on their behalf. I think there's a future state where I'm asking my personal agent to book a trip for my wife and three boys and give me options based on budget parameters, how long, how far away it is, and that it knows food allergies and seating preferences and all these sorts of things that I'm allowing it to go transact. And the ripple effect of that across, think about the impacts on advertising when I'm no longer searching myself. Right now, we're going from SEO to AI optimization or AEO. It's no longer do we show up in the search results. It's does ChatGPT recommend our brand, right? But what happens when it's actually an agent acting on my behalf? How then do we optimize as businesses for attracting, converting, and transacting through our intermediaries as agents? And it's really fascinating. A lot of that will have to do with the protocols, all of like the MCP protocol that will allow for agents to interact universally. But we've got to plan for that because it's a certain eventuality and it's coming really quickly.
May I ask which app are you using for all the things that you're doing for your family and yourself?
Yeah, I use a number of different tools and I don't think there are any. The space is evolving so quickly right now that there's a version of a tool today that's superior and then it falls back and things are consolidating there as well. I'll say because of our relationship with Google, I've been using Gemini and Notebook LLM very heavily over the last few years. But of course, Anthropic, ChatGPT, Perplexity, all of the major sort of LLM tools out there I've played around with. And there are a number of point solutions as well. What's most important for me is not leveraging tools that I'm treating like a search tool. That's the biggest mistake I see in personal use, is treating these tools like a search tool where you just, hey, I want to plan a trip and you're expecting a readout. You actually have to curate and create your own logic and priorities and perspectives. And then, of course, when you prompt, it's really important to have the right framework in mind. So I always think about assigning a persona to the LLM, giving it a specific task, and then I give it sort of parameters. I give it reference artifacts and context. That's the most important part. And then I have a requested format that I want. And there's a lot of back and forth. Sometimes it's really quick. Sometimes it's a dead end. But again, trial and error, I think, is the key.
Yeah, I found it very interesting because most of the people that I know myself, maybe because we are using more AI in a basic level, myself, for example, I use ChatGPT the most. I don't even have Gemini on my phone or anything. So I just decided to use just one instead of, because there's so many. And as you say, every day something new coming up. So I'm asking you this because I feel, and as well as what you say, that like the prompt and how you ask to the LLM. So it's very important. It's how you do it more than the app or the technologies as well, how you use it. So I found it very, very interesting. So for you, I know that you use a lot of Gemini and a lot of the ones connect more with Google because you've got, you know, that connection with Google for business and somehow. In your opinion and your experience, if, for example, someone would have to choose just one, which one would you recommend?
I honestly, I wouldn't make that recommendation at this point. I think any recommendation I made today would be obsolete tomorrow. Things are changing so quickly. And different tools, this is something you could do a Google search on, right? Various tools have strengths for different use cases and different sort of fields of interest, right? Fundamentally, it's about something that you will use repeatedly. And so if you can find a tool that you can incorporate into your daily processes, and most importantly, curate context over time, because you'll have streams of context windows that you'll want to go to so that you're not starting every conversation from scratch and you start to develop rapport and have the systems understand your voice and what you're trying to achieve.
Great, thanks. So Baker, how do you keep yourself grounded as you know that AI is evolving, technology is evolving, everything's evolving. As you said, everything is becoming obsolete the next day. So how do you yourself, where I'm doing here. So how do you keep yourself grounded?
Sure.
There's a phenomenal video out there that I've recommended to people for years by Dr. Srikumar Rao, who used to run a class on happiness at Columbia University. The video is called Plug Into Your Hardwired Happiness. And his entire thesis is that you can do everything right, and sometimes the results don't go your way. There's so many variables out there beyond your control. All you can do is focus on what you can control and invest in the process. And his point is that when you invest in the process, if you succeed, wonderful. And if you don't succeed, also wonderful, because you've ruled out something that doesn't work and you have a new starting point to try again. And I think in an environment as turbulent and disruptive as generative AI and modern enterprise, everything's changing. There's so much trial and error. You've got to be curious and imaginative. You've got to break free from whatever it is you did to develop your career over the last 20 or 30 years, because it's going to rapidly become obsolete. And if you want to continue to grow and evolve, then you have to be open to doing exactly that. And try and fail and dust yourself off and get up and try again. And you'll find that over time, you get better and more efficient with these tools.
Thanks. I like that. What is the, looking ahead, what is your idea of, I know that things are changing very much and everything is going very fast, but what is your idea of AI and humanity in the next generation of CX?
Yeah, I think I'll start by saying we have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And that's the case with AI right now. There's so much emphasis on the technology itself. I saw a comic strip the other day, and it's, what do we want? AI, when do we want it? Now, what do we want it for? I don't know. The most important part of AI and CX is CX. It's the customer experience. And the history and the challenge of customer experience is that we say customer experience, but generally speaking, we mean the customer support experience. And there's still just an entire firewall between the tools and the innovation and the data and the goals and the measures of success for sales and marketing and revenue growth operations versus what we consider to be customer experience and support. And the truth is, the only way for customer experience to be truly effective is for that wall to come down and for the entire enterprise to recognize that there's only one experience for the customer with your brand, and it spans every single touch point. And so generative AI does offer the ability and the promise of spanning those silos, synthesizing the data and the insights across all of those customer touch points, and again, surfacing them as needed to make us all successful against our departmental roles. But it starts with the customer. And customer service can't be lip service. We have to actually put the customer at the center of our universe. AI offers us the ability to do it, but we're going to have to lock arms and get around the table to do it effectively.
Thanks. Baker, you as a father, I guess that you have some wishes about the future for your kids, right? Which advice would you give them to them for the future about this technology world that we are going towards?
That's a loaded question. Look, I'll say this. I think there are a lot of ethical implications for AI, especially when it comes to information gathering, disinformation, social media. And something that we all become acutely aware of is that every individual through technology right now is curating their own reality, and in many times an echo chamber. And I think sometimes that becomes very divisive. And I think one of the challenges we see with some of the failures with early AI deployments are actually around giving the AI too much agency, right? And not taking responsibility for the output and for the standards that we would hold ourselves and our employees to. And I think for my children who are going to grow up in a totally different world than I have, the number one most important thing that I'm teaching them right now is critical thinking and analyzing and evaluating information to form their own perspectives. I think responsible, ethical consideration of the data and the information that you're taking in yourself and just being aware of how your opinions and perspectives are formed is going to be really important for our children.
Thank you. I love it. Critical thinking. I think that's so much of that nowadays, not many people are really using that. But with all the internet and all those things, I think that the new generation actually, they have it a bit more difficult than, for example, also my generation, I feel. Like we were, I didn't grow up with a phone or laptop things. I started to have it in my teenage. So still I had that background and that childhood without it. So it's, yeah, I think it's more difficult now for a new generation. Okay, Baker. And yeah, thank you very much for joining the Human Sunday podcast again. I have a great time talking to you, sharing your knowledge. Thank you.
Thanks, Flora. This was awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Humans and AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.